Unfiltered and Unstoppable with Rob Rumsberg. Real strategies for real advisors. A podcast that dives into what it takes to scale a thriving financial practice. Each week, we'll discuss actionable strategies, tools, and insights to keep you ahead in today's financial landscape. From innovative products and powerful marketing tactics, you'll get unfiltered truth and unstoppable strategies. Let's get started by building your unstoppable financial practice today.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to Unfiltered and Unstoppable, Real Strategies for Real Advisors. I am your host, Rob Rumsberg, and today's episode is all about breaking down what's inside this One Big Beautiful Bill Act, and more importantly, why it matters to you, and even more importantly than that, why it matters to your clients. I have on with me today, Mr. David Johnson. He is the director of Case Central, the brain behind some of the most advanced case designs we've seen come through our portal. And so if you are at all wondering how to talk about some of the tax brackets, the Roth conversions, the charitable giving, and some of the new planning windows that have been introduced here with this new act, stay with us. Stay with us. David, thank you so much, man, for joining us today.
Hey, no problem at all. Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, definitely an honor. If you don't mind, just give us about a 10-15 second commercial of who you are, and we'll get fired up right after that.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, like Rob had said, I've been here with Gradient for going on 14 years. I'm the director of Case Central. We have more than 20 financial planners here on our staff to help you. And that's my focus. That's our focus, is helping people like you go out there and hit the ground running and close more business.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic. And that, as we go through here, we're really going to highlight some of that expertise. Let's go ahead and dive in here. So with this new act, the Big Beautiful Bill Act, man, that just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? we've seen a permanent extension of some of the tax cuts that were previously implemented. What would you say some of the significances of some of these being made permanent?
Right. Well, the big one is tax brackets.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of unknown, and you know, in Case Central and just in general, you hear about it in the industry. It's been kind of the buzz for the past couple of years. It's, hey, you know, this is coming to an end. It's sunsetting here at the end of 2025, but it's nice now to have some more consistency. Our advisors, our agents will know what's coming their way now. There's more certainty with that. And I think some good things happened here with, you know, making those tax brackets more permanent.
Yeah, I agree 100%. In that regard, so how should our advisors and the advisors out there in the industry be thinking about this Roth conversion concept, right, now that we know that rates aren't going to jump in 2026?
Right. Well, Rob, I think it's more of the same. I mean, it's been a huge talking point for us in Case Central for quite some time. You know, we're still looking at those different sweet spots within the tax brackets for lower income people. Perhaps it's the 12% bracket. Hey, let's try and max out that bracket. You know, for higher income people, 24% bracket is still kind of where it's at, because after 24, it goes up to 32%. So higher income people that are considering conversions, that might be the right bracket to max out. Now, one last thing I'll say about that part is, a lot of people didn't know that when these current tax, if they were going to sunset, that along with not only the tax rate going up, you know, 12 would go to 15 and, you know, 24 goes to 28. But also in certain situations that the tax brackets may have, as far as the dollar amount range, may have shrunk down, so that in certain places. So potentially somebody would have gotten a jump up, not only in what the bracket rate now is, but you're in a different bracket altogether. So I think it's good. It's good what happened here.
So let me ask you kind of an odd question. You only hear about the wonderful things about Roth conversions. Is there ever a situation when a Roth might not make sense?
Well, sure. I mean, we see, you know, a lot of cases, as you would expect here in Case Central. And at first, you know, and I get a question, hey, should this person convert? Well, sometimes it's, okay, are they cool with paying taxes? Because some people don't want to rush that. Some people, it makes them sick to their stomach realizing taxes before they have to. And so it's a personal preference to an extent. I mean, that the numbers might make sense in certain cases, but some people can't stomach the tax. Okay. But all of that aside, I mean, every situation is different, and we need to, you know, take a deeper dive into that situation. I always tell our advisors or our agents, you want to talk Roth conversions with me, give me their most recent tax return, because what do I get on a tax return? So I get specifics. Now, if someone's talking to you about what their income is, and they might say, hey, yeah, I make 150, or, you know, or that's our income. Okay, well, that might be your gross income, but what's your taxable income? Because as far as we're concerned, we want to know what the taxable income is, because that's what actually goes into the brackets, and we do planning based on taxable income, not total or gross income.
Okay, yeah, that's all great stuff. So we've touched here on income taxes and conversions. Let's shift gears a little bit here, and let's talk about deductions, real estate tax relief, things along those lines. So we're going to talk a little bit about this SALT cap,
right?
And high income households. So let's talk specifically. Let's start here in regards to the $40,000 SALT deduction cap. What's the real opportunity here?
Well, this is one of the big ones. Now, you know, way back in 2017, or at the end of 2017, when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act rolled out, that was one of the big caps that came into place. Mm-hmm. And so now that this is really going to impact, you know, higher income states, higher state taxes, higher real estate tax areas. I mean, California or New York or, you know, New Jersey. I mean, places like that might see the biggest impact, but it also impacts, hey, you're selling a business and you're paying some state tax. And so there is opportunity here to really maximize your deductions as opposed to being stuck at the 10K. Some of those states, you know, you're going to see just larger Schedule A's on tax returns.
Yeah. So really, if I'm in some of those higher specific states, like you already mentioned, California, New York, New Jersey, states along those lines. And if, by the way, if you're listening right now as an advisor and you're not sure for whatever reason, we've got all of that laid out for you. We can provide you that information. If I'm in some of those states, I'm one of the ones that would benefit the most from this. So I would want to make sure that as an advisor, I'm yelling and screaming from the rooftops of how I can help. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. And we haven't really talked a lot about this yet, but I mean, wow, guys, what an opportunity to reach out to your clients, to set yourself, you know, ahead of the competition by being proactive and just having a conversation with your clients about this, for sure. Right.
And what would you say? Okay, so I'm yelling and screaming from the rooftop. What's the real opportunity? Like, what's the real benefit for the client?
About this specifically,
yes.
I mean, it's bigger deductions. Uh-huh. Okay, but I think, and we might touch on this later, but I think that the biggest opportunity period here is there's a lot of noise out there, and you're making connections with your people to give them every reason to want to stay with you going forward, because you're taking care of their needs, not just your prospects' needs, but your current client needs. You're reaching out and making those connections.
Okay. And so is this where AMT comes into play?
I mean, it can. I mean, for those that don't know what AMT is.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that.
Yeah. I mean, with the alternative minimum tax, you're basically, there's two different tax calculations running side by side for certain higher net worth type, not higher net worth, higher income type people. Mm-hmm. And it's there for those people that they want to make sure that some higher income people pay a certain floor of taxes. And, you know, with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you know, that came out back in 2017, fewer people fell under AMT. That's supposed to increase some. I don't know. I don't really see that for the average person, even not for the average person. I'm not convinced this will be a huge talking point, AMT specifically. It's not the flashy thing. But more people might experience, more individuals, businesses might experience the AMT, the alternative minimum tax, but it's not earth shattering necessarily.
Okay. Thank you. So SALT is a big one for the high income earners. Mm-hmm. There's also
high tax states.
Yeah, high tax states specifically. Thank you. There's also some waves out there and maybe a little misinformation, believe it or not, in regards to retirees. Taking a look at the senior deduction and how that relates to retirement income planning. So let's just talk a little bit. How much impact or how impactful is this for the average retiree, in your humble opinion, in regards to the $6,000 senior deduction?
The bonus deduction. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how about this? Let me kind of set the stage a little bit when it comes to these deductions. And whenever I hear about these new tax things that come out, that's one of the first things I think of is, okay, well, so how are the deductions changing? And is it I'm using some jargon here, above the line deduction versus below the line deduction? That's huge when it comes to what these deductions truly impact. I know that, I bet that many of you have heard it. Maybe it's an old school term, but if I say above the line, that's a deduction that took place before the adjusted gross income was determined, and that the primary above the line deductions are going to be on your Schedule One adjustments, like an IRA contribution deduction, maybe an HSA contribution deduction. And then you have below the line deductions, which, think Schedule A for that. Below the line deduction is after AGI, which is such an important thing for our agents, our advisors to be aware of as they're talking tax with the prospect, because so much is based on AGI, right? And so, right. So these Schedule A and the QBI deduction for business owners, for pass-through entities, those are going to be your below the line. So after AGI is determined. And so the first thing I think of, and I'm being long-winded here, but the first thing that went through my mind, you know, we heard chatter about Social Security and the taxation of that being impacted here. And when it's all said and done, there's no direct impact on the taxation of Social Security, but there's some great, and I'll maybe touch further on that later, but these deductions that we're talking about, you go online, you Google something, and you see different things. Okay, well, is it an above the line or a below the line deduction? And, you know, that I kind of go to Ed Slott or Michael Kitsis for the final word. And they're both securely in the camp that all these different deductions, like the $6,000 bonus deduction, Rob, that you mentioned for seniors, so 65 plus, that is supposedly slated as a below the line of deduction, not going to impact AGI. So it does not impact Social Security taxation directly. But all that said, these deductions do decrease the end result, taxable income. So yeah, so you're going to come ahead, you know, with a lower tax bill because of it, but it just isn't linked up directly with Social Security.
And so that's exactly what I meant by there might be a little bit of misinformation out there. We've already seen some of the marketing that's been provided out in the industry, talking about how the act is going to lower your Social Security bill, things along those lines. Might be great for marketing, but it's not the right message. And that's the thing that I am so appreciative of you and your team and the information that you provide, the education that you provide. And quick side note, excuse me for the commercial, but this is exactly why you want to work with Case Central. This specific information that we're providing today. Now, Case Central is going to do everything they can to make sure that they're putting your client in the right position. And that does sometimes comes with a hard truth, but at the same time, we've got all of the reports and Case Central has all of the reports to make it very easy for you. Thank you very much for that explanation.
Right. And great commercial. I love it.
So let's pivot here real quick, to a few of the, maybe you might even call them, sleeper inductions. Sure. That might be able to open a few new doors or new conversations. So some of the hidden opportunities out there might be the tips and the overtime and auto interest. Now if I'm working with pre-retirees or retirees, I might not. Why would I be interested in tips and things like that? Keep in mind, we're also talking about multi-generational planning with a lot of this, and making sure we're working with the beneficiaries and things like that. So it's very important that we know these things as well. These particular deductions really feel like they're built for maybe the working class. So sure. The tip income, the overtime pay, car loan interest. Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and those are the kind of deductions that they might not impact, you know, a wide range of people or a lot of people numerically, but those that it does impact, it could be substantial for them.
Exactly.
And so it's a great opportunity as you're, yes, talking to prospects, but if you know of one of your clients that receives tip income, okay, maybe they're in the service industry, whatever it is, or, you know, they're thinking about buying a new car, you know, a new car that's, you know, built here in the US, that interest can now be deductible. And overtime income. So as you're making connections with your people, maybe make a note on if they fall into one of those categories. Great value add. But hey, if they receive some deductions, that does create some more tax bracket planning potential, right? As far as there's maybe there's more space now in that 12 or 24% bracket to do some more Roth conversions or whether it's that or realizing gains or whatever it is, there's some tax bracket planning that could be done for certain people that take advantage of these deductions.
You know, I already mentioned this, you know, even if I'm only focused on pre-retirees and retirees, we want to make sure that we're working on that multi-generational planning. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard from one of my advisors that they gained the clients simply because they helped one of the children. And the child, the working, maybe blue collar worker, referred their parents in. So just another reason why. Now, maybe you don't have to know the letter of the law here, but you better have an idea of the highlights of it. And then at that point in time, being able to bring in your team to really implement some of these strategies here. Speaking of building for the future, let's talk about something really unique here, a strategy that should be turning heads for younger families for sure. This Trump account, account, the child savings account. So what's the story here on the $1,000 starter accounts and why would they generate buzz?
Right. Well, hey, you know, we're in America. We love the word free, right? I mean, so people or kids that are born in 25 through 2028, they're going to get some seed money so that the government's going to put $1,000 into a Trump account. Okay. This new savings account, that's what they're calling it. This new child savings account is a Trump account, but $1,000 is seed money, you know? And so, hey, free money. So those that were born, you know, prior, they can still open this account all the way up until, you're age 18, but you don't get the seed money. It's only if you're born. So you may see a few more kids being born in the next few years to take advantage of this $1,000, right? But that's what's for. It's designed to, and you can compare it to different kinds of accounts that are out there. But when it comes time to start taking distributions down the road from this, there's some guidelines here, but if it's a qualifying type a distribution, you might receive some favorable tax rates. If it's a non-qualifying type withdrawal, the gains will be ordinary income on that down the road when the money comes out. Mm-hmm. But you are going to see some people, you know, making this happen for sure.
Oh, is this a replacement for the 529 plans?
No, it's not at all. And, okay. And I think the 529 plan remains as a go-to. If you know for sure that you want to save money for that kid or grandkid or whoever, you know, that the 529 plan works as, you know, if it's used
in addition to.
Right. Well, I mean, the 529 plan works like a giant Roth IRA.
Right.
So you could use if it's used for the right purpose, you know. And so because of that tax-free component to the 529 plan, you're still going to see that as a go-to for education planning. But yeah.
Great.
You'll see them both.
I'm really pleased to hear that we're being able to add more for legacy planning. So with legacy planning, there was something else added in regards to maybe some of the wealthy families. Some might even say a big win in regards to estate taxes. So this estate tax exemption, succession planning. So it's staying at 15 million per person. How big of a deal is that specifically for some of those folks in the rural areas that are farmers, ranchers, maybe small businesses, things along those lines?
Right. Well, it's huge for them, right? I mean, that's been a huge area of interest for the advisors that we talk to, just this topic in general. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that this estate tax exemption, I mean, it's a use it or lose it, right? So that there was some extra pressure on people to figure things out here this year and use the exemption. But yeah, so it's, you know, it's 14 for this year per person, jumps to 15 million next year per person in 2026, and continues to grow based on the cost of living. But for these people that own businesses and own a whole lot of land, and you know, oftentimes they have liquidity issues, they have to sell something to pay the estate taxes and all that. So that still will be a concern, but it'll help out a number of people that are kind of in that middle ground where are they bumping up against the exemption or not?
Yeah. So in regards to succession planning, legacy planning, would you say that this is a great conversation start?
Well, there's not many better value adds, if you ask me. When you as an agent or an advisor talking to somebody that's higher net worth, for you to be proactive in that realm with them and have somebody else, I think this is huge. You might disagree, but having somebody else in your corner, referring to an enhanced planning or estate planning professional, that's right there to help to come into those conversations with you. I can't stress it enough to have someone that can pop into those meetings with you, come down to your office and add value. Wow, I think that's huge. And you know, the big beautiful bill aside, having that person is, I think, is mission critical for our agents.
100%. So geez, it's almost time to wrap this up already. let's wrap up with something that's close to many people, many clients, many advisors' hearts: giving, charitable giving specifically. Are you able to break down for us real quick some of the charitable deductions that some of those in kind of plain term maybe?
Yeah, and I know that you're up against the clock here a little bit, but some people think about that this and it's on the surface here as a smaller charitable giving type enhancement or improvement within this law. But I was talking to my team here a couple of days ago. I actually love what they did with this. So where do we currently take or receive deductions for charitable giving, whether it's a donor advised fund, you give to your church or whatever it is? I mean, it's a Schedule A, right?
Right.
You that's where you have that deduction. But with as high as the standard deduction is today, what are most people doing? They're taking the standard deduction and right. not yeah. the itemized.
Right.
But these exactly. same people are still givers, right?
Right.
And so how can they receive a benefit? So if you're married, filing joint, you can still deduct on top of receiving the standard deduction and the other bonus deductions and all that. You can still deduct $2,000 a year for charitable giving, $1,000 for those that are single. So I love that. I love that little add-in to the bill.
Yeah. So once again, let's talk about marketing strategies. Let's talk about education. Let's talk about attracting new prospects. I mean, charitable giving is one of the best ways to attract attention mm-hmm. because the people that do it are passionate. Right. They're not only passionate about actually helping, but they also want to find out, okay, how can I take advantage of any sort of strategies mm-hmm. that go along with charitable giving? So I will say without a doubt, you have any doubts about anything else to do with the Big Beautiful Bill Act, fine, that's great. But this particular strategy, I would make sure I'm loud and proud about it.
Right.
So, Mr. David Johnson, DJ, as I lovingly like to call you, we've covered a lot today. We've talked about tax brackets, new deductions, charitable giving, Roth strategies. So, DJ, if you had to sum up, what would you say is the biggest opportunity that advisors can act on right now with this particular act?
Well, biggest opportunity, I mean, and perhaps I'm a broken record, but I don't see any one of those items on the list that we discuss as the biggest opportunity. I just want to encourage your agents, Rob, your advisors, I want to encourage you guys to act. I'm sure that Rob's a big believer in this, but there's so much information out there. This is a great chance for you to, yes, with your current prospects, but also to clients that are out there, reach out to them, review their financial plan with them. And you know what? Case Central can help you with that too. We update reports, Compass reports every day for annual reviews for our advisors as time goes on. So I'd say leverage us, let us help you review your clients' current financial plan so we can help make sure that your clients are on the right path. And I think it'll be a great value add for you and your communication with them.
Thank you. Yeah. Here's the bottom line. The act opens up major planning windows. And like you already said, the real win comes from knowing how to act on them, making sure we're acting on them now. So not only acting on them now, but efficiently with confidence. And that's where, DJ, you and your team come into play. That's exactly where Case Central comes into play. You and your team, will back the advisor with over 20, separate individuals inside of Case Central, including CFPs, they're all planning pros, and their only job is advanced planning, custom case design. They are here to help the advisor to make sure that your clients don't miss any opportunities, especially with this new law. And this new law provides some great opportunities to help you really be the one in your community, the one that everyone's looking to. But the Case Central team is also designed to help you reclaim hours every single week that you would normally spend grinding and going through casework design mm-hmm. and researching tax strategies or product research. That's really why Case Central is here. It is having an elite planning department in your back pocket at no cost to you or your clients. So if you as an advisor out there would like to have access to Case Central or any of our marketing materials that we've already created on the Act. So we've got white papers, PowerPoints, full seminars, social media marketing campaigns. You know how to get a hold of me and the Gradient team here. Don't wait for another advisor in your area to have a jump start on this. Don't let them have the conversation with your clients first. So, DJ, once again, just really appreciate your time and your expertise here, my friend. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Heck yeah. Glad to be here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.